You should be asking, what are the skills I can master that are so valuable they'll serve you no matter where you go? Your ability to think strategically. That's the difference between growing your business or going out of business. But if you want to climb the ranks within your organization, more and more and more, it's about...
Imagine solving in minutes what used to take weeks, or unlocking million-dollar opportunities and driving massive growth. Our guest today will reveal how AI can elevate your leadership to the next level, transforming how you think, decide, and lead in a rapidly changing world. Welcome to the Learn It All podcast, the show for today's leaders who want to get ahead and stay ahead, because we believe that great leaders aren't born or made, they are constantly in the making. I'm your host, Damon Lebby, two-time best-selling author and CEO of Learn It, a live learning platform that has upskilled over 2 million people over the past 3 decades. Today, I'm thrilled to welcome Jeff Woods, a visionary leader on a mission to redesign the future of leadership in the AI era. As the founder of AI Leadership and the author of AI Driven Leader, he's pioneered innovative ways for leaders to solve problems and turn AI into your ultimate thought partner. In today's conversation, I'm going to be asking Jeff to share the mindset shift that transforms your leadership, how AI uncovers million-dollar solutions while solving challenges in minutes, the 4 ingredients for crafting prompts that deliver game-changing results, and much, much more. What was it that made you decide to make a pivot, go out on your own, and really go all in on AI?
Yeah, so I got a piece of advice my senior year of college that really has shaped and molded my career. And I was doing an internship with a tech company when I went to UC Santa Barbara. And right before graduation, I sit down with the CEO and I asked him, what job should I get after school? And he looks at me and he goes, you're asking the wrong question. And this was the first time in my life that I was introduced to the power of asking the right questions. And he said, you should be asking, what are the skills I can master that are so valuable, they'll serve you no matter where you go? And what jobs will help you develop those skills? That literally has been a thread that I've pulled through my whole career, from going into the world of sales, from Xerox to medical device sales. First got into entrepreneurship because had the chance to partner with Gary Keller, who wrote The One Thing with his co-author Jay Papazan. And they said, hey, we'll teach you how to think and act like a CEO. You run and scale the company, but we'll be there to guide you and coach you. So I thought, amazing skill development. After I exited that company, I had 2 years where I had a non-compete, and I went in-house as a chief growth officer for a public company out of India called Jindal Steel, giant steel company, about 100,000 people. And I just saw that as an opportunity to gain even more skills in terms of how do you drive growth of a large enterprise with a footprint literally global. When I was there, I saw AI for the first time. It was December of 2022. So ChatGPT had literally been out for maybe 30 days, not even 30 days. And when I saw it, I saw the next skill. So I made a personal goal for the next year to figure out how can I master this at my level as a chief growth officer. And very quickly, I started to realize that using it to write a better email was a waste of my time. But I started asking what really matters at a leadership level. And this is when I came back to this belief that your ability to think strategically. That's the difference between growing your business or going out of business. You know, when you're an individual contributor, it's all about how you can execute. You move up to management and it starts to be about how you lead through people. But if you want to climb the ranks within your organization, more and more and more, it's about how do you get out of the operational, tactical side and how do you live more at a strategic level? And I started figuring out how to use AI as a thought partner to elevate my ability to think strategically and to help me make better decisions. Once I tapped into that, a whole new world opened up. I was in India. I was going there every quarter. I was at the chairman's house and I made the pitch. I said, this is the future. And he goes, I agree. And I said, I think this is so important that we should drive this through the whole company. And he goes, I agree. And I looked at him, I said, I really think you need to own this as chairman of the board. And he looks at me and goes, I disagree. How about you do it? Which, amazing opportunity. So I immediately
created. Great opportunity.
I'm on it. Walked out of his house and said, oh, crap. Because at the time, I didn't really feel like I knew what I was doing. But this is when I learned from Gary Keller that anytime you're hitting a ceiling of achievement in your life, you're just missing a person. So who am I missing that if I could bring into my world could help me drive this through our organization? That became Google. So I partnered with Google. Now every quarter when I'm in Delhi, I'm in their headquarters in Gurgaon, and they're teaching me what is the technology? How does it work? How do you identify use cases and tune models? And after driving that for a bit, I saw a much bigger opportunity to start my next company, which is now AI Leadership, and to write my book, The AI-Driven Leader.
Yeah, and I was telling you before we came on air, I read your book. I think it's fantastic. And you talk about in it that going into this, you interviewed 200 executives, right? What did you learn from those interviews?
This blew my mind. I was so confident when I resigned from Jindal Steel that if I started a company around AI, I was going to have more business than I knew what to do with right off the bat. I literally interviewed 200 execs one-on-one. 100% said AI was the future. 100% said they would adopt it. Less than 5% had done anything. And this was a gut punch because I just quit a very lucrative big job that most people wouldn't quit. And I'm hearing that this isn't a problem that we're trying to solve. But then I started asking, what is the problem that they have that if I could solve it could create new value? And that was that they just didn't know how to go from zero to one. They know it's the future, but they don't know where to start and they think they're falling behind. And so for me, that really shaped the book from being a book around how do you transform the organization to how do you as a leader start using any generative AI tool, ChatGPT, Claude, Gemini, Perplexity, Copilot, doesn't matter. How do you use any of those tools at a leadership level in a way that matters? Because again, you writing a better email, you doing social media copy or marketing copy, that is not your job as a leader. So how do you use it to advance your ability to think strategically or to make faster, smarter decisions? That became the focus of the AI-driven leader.
So in order to do so, in order to start, like you talk about, using AI to really have an impact on the top 20% of the work that you do, where does somebody start? Somebody who's a leader who maybe is like, I know I need to get into AI, but I haven't really done much with it besides just maybe writing an email at ChatGPT.
Yeah, sure. So first we have to revisit what is the Pareto's principle, the 80-20 rule. It's the idea that 80% of your results come from just 20% of your efforts. In my experience, most people who are using generative AI are applying it to 80% of their tasks that only drive 20% of the value. Now, I applaud those people because they're taking action. They're getting started. But I have built a career on helping executive teams focus on the 20% priorities that drive 80% of the results. So your time is more valuable than your money. When you sit down to use ChatGPT or any of the other large language models, you have an opportunity to invest your time. When you make an investment, you expect a return. You can use a use case that'll return you a dollar. You could do a use case that could return you $1,000 or $100,000 or $1,000,000. I just choose to focus on the use cases that matter most.
And what happens to organizations where, let's say, what I love in your book is you talk about the story about Blockbuster, right? As an example of, you know, being completely disrupted by technology, right? So if organizations don't move forward with AI, use that story as an example of how it illustrates.
Yeah, sure. So in the early 2000s, Blockbuster was the king of movie rentals. Every weekend, you've got millions of customers that are driving to their local stores. It's racking up $8.7 billion in annual revenue. And then Netflix comes along with this unique idea, DVD rentals by mail. And as Netflix started to gain traction, eventually, Blockbuster asked that Reed Hastings fly to Dallas and sit down with them. And Reed saw this as an opportunity. He pitched to the exec team Blockbuster that they acquire him for $50 million. This was only 0.6% of Blockbuster's total revenue. Yeah. He casted this vision for how streaming was going to disrupt things and how Blockbuster could create this hybrid model. They almost laughed him out of the room. And we now know this is one of the greatest strategic missteps of all time in business history. Well, Netflix started to gain more traction. Eventually, John Antioco, who's running Blockbuster, began to realize the mistake because he had completely discounted how significant streaming would be. He thought that brick and mortar stores, customer foot traffic, penalizing you with late fees, he thought that it had worked up to this point. If it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? Well, he now knew they needed to change. He invested $400 million to create Blockbuster Online to go toe-to-toe with Netflix and also to cancel late fees. But this created a whole new problem because then you've got Carl Icahn steps in as an activist investor, takes over the board. He wants Blockbuster Online dead. He wants late fees back. This power struggle distracts the focus and execution of the entire organization to the point that Netflix became so dominant that it put Blockbuster out of business. Or did it? Here's the part of the story most people don't know. Most people listening to this have heard that story. Guess why Hastings wanted to sell Netflix to John Antioco?
They were running out of money.
They were $50 million in the hole, and they did not think they could win.
Incredible.
Selling to Blockbuster was their ticket to get out of business and break even. But it was the lack of strategic thinking at the executive ranks of Blockbuster that put them out of business. So here's why I think this matters for you who's listening to this. How confident are you in the defensibility of your current business model? And if you're not the CEO, how confident are you in the defensibility of your current skill set in terms of a future career advantage? Great question I love to ask is, what's the business that'll put you out of business, and how can I build it first?
How can you use AI to challenge those assumptions?
So easy. So most people, when they view using generative AI, they think of it like a really smart Google that they can ask questions to and get answers, or they think of it like an assistant that they can delegate tasks to get them done faster. Both bring value, but the ROI is not as high as what I'm about to show you. If you start to view AI as a thought partner and you turn the tables, instead of asking it questions, asking it to ask you questions, to pull context out of your head, whether it's to clarify your thinking, help you think more strategically, solve your biggest problems, help you achieve your most ambitious goals. So here's a framework that I use for a prompt. A prompt is just how you talk to it. And I think of it kind of like a recipe. In any recipe, you've got different ingredients that you put in. I'm going to give you four ingredients that I think matter for strategic thinking. And there, I structure it in this order: context, role, interview, task. So context, you describe the context of the situation. Role, you ask it to adopt a certain personality or to have certain expertise, because you, based on the data that this stuff is trained on, you can engage just about any expertise in the world and apply it to your use case. Very powerful. Interview, that's when you tell it to turn the tables and to interview you by asking one question at a time up to a certain number, 3 questions, 4 questions, 5 questions, all so that it can accomplish a task. So context, role, interview, task. If you can remember that recipe, I'll take you beyond probably 99% of the people in the world using AI right now. So if you want to use AI, do you want to do it on the defensibility of the business or your career? Which do you want to go for?
Defensibility of the business.
Okay, great. So context. I currently work for this type of a company. You don't even have to say the name of the company. We operate in this industry. These are the products that we currently offer. These are the problems that we are solving for our customer. And deep down, I see AI as the future, and I don't want to be disrupted by it. I would rather that we become innovators and use this as an opportunity to build a competitive advantage. I would have put all that in as context. Your role is to act as a growth-minded board member with deep expertise in competitive positioning and ensuring that we build a protective moat, especially amongst technological disruption. Interview me by asking me one question at a time, up to 5 questions to gain more deep context about my business. And then I want you to complete the task of outlining the top 5 ways you could see our business being disrupted over the next 10 years. And for each one of them, the top strategies we could deploy so that we're the ones that do the disruption. That would be one prompt.
That's awesome. And for our listeners out there, Jeff just did a masterclass on this. Obviously, you got to go out and get his book. You could also just pull this transcript off YouTube and copy that in there and use that yourself to help make assumptions against your own business, right? I mean, it's crazy. And it also comes down to a lot. I heard you say this, but I've heard others say this. You know, the prompt is only going to be as good as the information that you put in there. So how important is clear communication when you're guiding it?
Are you married or have you ever been married?
I'm married.
How important is communication in your relationship?
Got to ask my wife that, because she'll tell you, you need to get better at it, but it's incredibly important. I mean, communication across the board is important, whether it's work, your relationships, everything.
It's the same thing here with AI. You know, most people who are currently using it, I have realized, at least for myself, AI literally held up a mirror to me and showed me the quality of my communication. If you put garbage in, you're going to get garbage out. If you put quality in, you're going to get quality out. It's the difference between the prompt I gave you, which would be high quality, versus I'm in this type of a business. Tell me how AI is going to disrupt our business. You will get generic vanilla answers from that because you gave it a generic vanilla prompt. But if you follow that framework that I gave you of context, role, interview, task, and you really build it out, you are not limited by a little text window on Google. You can type a lot in here or even talk to it and have it just transcribe your words or capture your words. You will get a night and day result.
And you talk about this in your book, and I think it's really important. When it comes down to it, us are the thought leaders. It is your partner. You know, you can't rely on it to be the thought leader.
Yes. So this is about redefining your relationship with AI. You are the thought leader. AI is your thought partner. With your leadership, you tell AI what you want it to do. And as your thought partner, it will do the heavy lifting and bring you back a result. But the biggest mistake, and I think this is one of the greatest risks that I see right now when it comes to AI, is leaders abdicating their role as the thought leader. I see this every time somebody copies and pastes an answer from ChatGPT without asking, do I agree? You see people asking it to write an email or a blog post or a customer communication and just copy and paste it without asking, is this our voice? Do I agree with what it's saying? How do I know that this is true? Think of it this way. If you're in a car, you're in the driver's seat. AI's in the passenger seat. Ask it to do the heavy lifting, but at the end of the day, you need to have human judgment here and apply that to the situation.
Absolutely. You know, you can't just rely on the results. I have a friend who put out a newsletter and just cut and paste some stats with nothing backing it up. And people call him out on it. Like, where did it come from? And at the end of the day, he just made the mistake because he just trusted AI instead of, you know, fact checking it.
100%.
I think it gets you down the field, but it can't get you into the end zone, is essentially what you're saying.
Yes.
Let's say one of the things I loved about your book is you got so many great, case studies in there. Give us an example of a strategic problem.
Sure.
Where you used AI, to help a customer or friend.
There are tons of stories in the book. I'm going to give you one that's not in the book. That way,
even better.
When you read the book, you get something new. I sat down with a group of CEOs and I just asked, what are the biggest problems you are facing that if we could solve them, would unlock a new level of growth for your business? Now, I want you to even think about the question I just asked them. I'm not asking for what's an easy way you could use AI. Don't care. I actually don't even care about AI. I care about your business growing. AI is a tool that can accelerate your growth or distract you from it. The difference that makes a difference is you and whether you are strategy first, technology second. So one guy looks at me and he says, okay, I got a good one. I run a manufacturing company. I leased a whole bunch of equipment from this company in Japan, but things have shifted in the market and the debt structure is now killing us. We're going to go bankrupt if it does not get restructured. I look at him and go, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. What have you done? He goes, man, we tried everything. And he lists five different initiatives that they had deployed to get the board to restructure the debt. And he goes, the problem is, because this is a publicly traded company in Japan, the board is refusing to restructure the debt because they think it'll make them lose face in Japanese society.
That's crazy. I said that.
No. He said that to me.
Oh, yeah. He said that to
you. He said that to me. And I'm going, you got to be, oh my gosh. Okay. And he looks at me and he goes, can AI help? That was the right question. Any use case, I don't approach with an expectation of a result. I approach with curiosity. Can it help? I don't know. Let's find out. And then can I use really good communication ingredients like context, role, interview, task to generate a high quality prompt to get a high quality answer? So I literally pulled up, in this case, ChatGPT, followed that same recipe, context, role, interview, task. Context. I run a manufacturing company. We leased all this equipment from a company in Japan. Things have shifted in the market. The debt is now killing us. We're going to go bankrupt if it doesn't get restructured. Here's the things we've tried. And I listed all 5 initiatives in detail. None of it has worked because this is a publicly traded company in Japan. It's gone all the way to the board and they are refusing to restructure the debt because they think they'll lose face in Japanese society. That was the context. Your role is to act as an investment banker with deep expertise in restructuring debt. Interview me by asking 1 question at a time, up to 3 questions to gain more context, so you can accomplish the task of generating 5 non-obvious strategies I could deploy to get the board to restructure the debt. And I hit enter. AI immediately asked, do you have any relationships with influential executives in Japan that this board would respect? I look at the CEO and he goes, whoa, I would have never asked that question. Oh my gosh, I do. And I'm thinking to myself, of course you wouldn't have. You don't have 2,000 years of Japanese culture in your head, but AI does. And then it asked 2 more questions about how he had navigated Japanese society in the past. It came back and goes, okay, here's your 5 non-obvious strategies. Number 1, it labeled the Saving Face Consortium. It said, you have enough relationships with the right people in Japan. Approach them to acquire the debt. Give them really favorable terms. Your debt will get restructured. The board will save face. Damon, I look at him. His whole body language had completely changed. And I can tell he's literally holding back tears. He looks at me and he says, I haven't slept in 90 days. I have literally been making peace with the fact that we are going out of business. And in less than 10 minutes, I got hope. We texted a few months later and he said, the ball's moving and this is actually going to get done.
Incredible. So what I hear you saying, it really is too, what leaders, managers, we all need to start looking at things a little differently. Instead of thinking like, okay, how do I go about this problem, right? How do I go about it? How do I solve it? Who do I bring in as individuals? Shift your mindset. I actually set this out to my team today, Jeff, by the way. Instead of asking that question, start asking, what can AI do to help me solve this problem?
Yes, I literally tell people when we do trainings for their teams, the one action I want them to take, and I'm going to apply this to you, I want you to grab a sticky note, a Sharpie, and I want you to write, how can AI help me do this? How can AI help me do this? And stick it on your computer, stick it on your desk, stick it on your monitor, stick it someplace that you will see it every day. Because if you just see that sticky note, it will prompt you to ask the question for whatever you're doing in the moment. And if you genuinely approach with curiosity, like, will it work? I don't know. Let me use some good communication ingredients, context, role, interview, task, for example. There are plenty more that are in the book, by the way, page 73 specifically, but that will give you a good starting point and you will build confidence and competence very quickly.
And it doesn't even have to be, if you want to get in the habit, it doesn't even have to be around work stuff. It could be problems you run into at home. I find myself just taking a picture or something, sending it to AI at home and say, like, how do I fix this challenge or this problem and rely on it?
I'll give you one. My wife's birthday was coming up. I have a track record of being terrible giving her gifts. And I wanted to really knock it out of the park. And so I went to AI contextual interview task. Context, it's my wife's birthday coming up. You know, these are her love languages. She's constantly said that she wants to feel taken care of and seen. Like, I gave it lots of context. Your role is to act as an expert gift giver. Interview me by asking one question at a time, up to five questions to gain deeper context. And then your task is to outline the best gifts that I could give her that would make her feel loved, seen, heard, in alignment with her love languages. And it conducted an interview and it came back and it said, well, have you considered writing her a bunch of notes about what it is that you love and appreciate about her so much? And you could create a scavenger hunt around the house where she has to go and she finds a note for every single one. And I said, oh, this is fantastic. Now conduct the interview of me to pull what you need out of my head to structure the things that I love about her. Now, I could have written all those things down, but there's something about when somebody asks you the question, things flow. And here's the hidden value. It's capturing all the additional words that you give it, and it's able to process them and to give them back. The things that it spat out, I could have handwritten everything, at least the ideas that it came up with. One, it helped me do it faster. Two, the writing was so much better because the things it pulled out of my head, it was phenomenal.
I guess the question is, when you gave her the present, did you give AI the credit for coming up with the ideas?
No.
Yeah. There you go. No. There you go.
Now I don't need to hide it either. But yeah. Because here's the thing, and I see this in companies. Still to date, the majority of people are using it, but they're hiding that they're using it. And I think this is a huge leadership opportunity to create a culture where it's celebrated to say, I used AI for this, rather than thinking that this is something that is going to diminish your capability. Because I believe this is going to enhance you, not replace you. And in fact, like, there's a person on my, there, when I look at my team, everybody has to be AI driven. We have to practice what we teach. If somebody is doing things the old fashioned way, which is going to take longer and be lower quality work, they don't have a right to be on my team. I expect you to engage your resources.
So how can a leader take, let's just say, one step to start getting people to feel comfortable admitting that they're using AI and celebrating it amongst the team?
Well, all leadership starts with self-leadership. Now, this also depends on where you fall on the org chart. If you're the CEO or you're C-suite, it's time to go first and to start using this and to talking to people about how you're using it. Let's assume you're not in the C-suite. I think you have an opportunity to use this and find a really cool use case where you can then go to a senior leader and say, I want to show you something that I came up with. I mean, this is literally how I ended up getting put in charge of AI for the steel company. I was just using it and I knew the chairman was using it and we were talking about it back and forth and I started showing him how I was using this for strategic thinking. He was like, this is incredible. And I was like, that's when I made the pitch. And who better to put in charge of championing this through the company than the person who's already championing it without being appointed to do so? And so I genuinely believe for people and companies, if you are listening to this right now and you're really getting excited about this, you have an opportunity to create a career advantage. Your job is nothing more than the skills you apply and the processes you follow. In every technological disruption in history, technology changed the skills that were valued and the processes that we followed. So when you are hiding the fact that you're using AI, you're clinging to the way things used to be rather than reimagining how can things become. So start using it, find a way to deliver value with it, and then start teaching other people how you're using it and helping them become more comfortable and successful with it. And I think you'll have an opportunity, especially if you're willing to pitch a vision for the company in terms of what this looks like. You'll write your ticket.
And it comes down to, we talked about this earlier a little bit, fixed mindset versus growth mindset.
Yes.
Right? If you're going to be stuck in your ways and afraid of it, hey people, this is inevitable. You have to get on the train. I mean, it's not going to stop. I mean, I heard somebody say, which is true, that the change of pace is the slowest it's ever going to be in our lifetime. It's only going to get faster and faster. So you got to get on board. I think that is so critical. Now, there is some truth to definitely some truth to the risks of AI. You know, people are afraid of, you know, it's going to replace me. It's going to take away my job. What advice do you have for CEOs and team leaders of how to address that, Jeff, with their team?
Sure. So again, I wanted to have data to support what I'm about to tell you. So I literally went back and studied the major technological disruptions of the past. Printing press, steam engine, assembly line, electricity, internet. This is when I realized your job is the skills you apply and the processes you follow. In every disruption, tech changed the skills that were valued and the processes that were followed. As a trend, more jobs were created than displaced. Will there be job displacement here? Yes. But what you have to realize is it's not the job or it's not the person that gets eliminated. It's the skills and processes that have become outdated. So you, regardless of your level, have a huge opportunity. If your job currently is leveraging skills and processes that AI can augment or automate, what you currently do will change. I'm going to tell you, 6 out of the 10 jobs that exist today didn't even exist in 1940. Yep. So to assume that your job will continue the way it is, you're thinking like Blockbuster and not like Netflix. You have an opportunity to acquire the next skills. For people who have a fixed mindset, that is scary. And they're not bad people. They fear that change. People who have a growth mindset see that as an opportunity. I am calling you to ask the question, who can I become in the future? I think a great example of this, Dan Sullivan wrote a book called 10X is Easier Than 2X. He makes this claim that you can double the size of your company. You can keep doing 80% of what you currently do. You only have to change 20%. But if you want to 10X your company or as an individual, 10X your income, you literally have to stop doing 80% of what you currently do, hold on to the core 20% that brings the most value, and then move all that 80% to a completely higher level of capability. Here's why I think this is good news. In my experience, and you tell me if you agree with this, Damon, I think most of people's time is consumed by three things: checking email, sitting in meetings, and doing the things on their to-do list. Would you agree with that?
100%.
Now, the things on their to-do list, are they filled with 20% priorities that drive 80% of the results, or clouded with 80% tasks that only drive 20% of the results?
They're mostly mundane tasks that are just getting in their way. But Jeff, it also comes down to, and I'm curious to see what you think about it, is getting people out of their comfort zone to just falling into the habit of working on that garbage, so to say.
Yes, yes. Well, and again, this is why the mindset is so important. AI can already augment or automate half of what you do. That can scare you or it can excite you. As a guy for the last 10 years who was coaching executive teams and advising companies and boards, that first scared me because most of what I did was asking the questions. And I looked at AI and said, I've already proven AI can ask the questions. So I could be afraid of that, or I could view it as an opportunity. I chose to be abundant and view it as an opportunity. I've already created an AI model that's been trained on my book and has 10 pages of custom instructions to get it to be me. On my website at AIleadership.com. That now has excited me because now I can free myself from having to be the person that asks all the questions and now move to a higher level of capability. And I'll tell you, I have 10X'd, no doubt. And so I think you really have to start and just recognize that you have an opportunity here. What you have done in the past does not have to be what you do in the future. I would challenge you. How can you use AI to free yourself from at least half of what you've done in the past? And how can you create an opportunity to make your skill set even more valuable for the future?
You gave a great example of a study in your book about BCG where they took 758 consultants and the difference of what AI did for them.
Sure. So Boston Consulting took 758 of their consultants. These are, you know, mostly Ivy League trained, very highly paid people. They split them into two groups. One group, keep doing what you were doing. Second group, start using AI. They literally gave them a ChatGPT account and maybe 10 minutes of training on how to prompt. The results were staggering. The people that used AI had a 40% increase in quality of work. They got it done 25% faster, and they got 12.2% more tasks done just by engaging AI as a co-pilot in what they did.
I mean, the numbers speak for themselves. So I'm a manager out here thinking about this, going, okay, I got to get going on this. What is a way that they, you know, one of the things that a lot of leaders have to do, managers have to do, are performance reviews. What is a way that you can use AI to drastically cut down the time it takes to do performance reviews, and not only do them quicker, but do them more effectively?
Sure. So let's assume that you have a template for performance reviews inside your company. If you don't, you can ask it. If you don't have a template, ask it to act as an expert in doing performance reviews to generate the template. It'll give you an answer, and then ask if you think that that will really work for your organization. You can have it interview you by asking one question at a time to identify what is going to matter most in your company, and then generate the template. Get to a template. If you already have a template, you literally can copy the, like, click on the PDF and drag it into any of these AI models and drop it, and it'll be right there. Say, you are an expert in HR and conducting performance reviews. I want you to interview me by asking one question at a time to gain all the information you need to fill out the attached template. Once you have enough information, generate the performance review. And it will literally start conducting an interview of you and spit it out. Now, the moment it gives it to you, do not just copy and paste it. You're the thought leader. AI is your thought partner. Ask yourself the question, do I really agree with this? Is there anything that's missing? You could then say, great, now I want you to act as my direct report that I'm about to give this to. Give me feedback on what you like about this performance review, what you don't like about it, and the top things I could do to make it even better. And it will adopt the persona of the person who's receiving the feedback and give you that perspective. And then you can say, great, based on that, now enhance it. I have seen people do high quality performance reviews in under 10 minutes that blew any previous one out of the water.
I agree, man. And I look, I've even used it before, and I would ask it, I'd say, am I being too harsh here, or am I being too nice? You know, give me some feedback on it. And it really pushes you to, it's amazing when you use it for that.
I'll give you another use case. Last week I was texting with a guy who's been, the core of our business is called the AI-Driven Leadership Collective. I'm creating a executive AI network of AI-driven leaders where we get offsite a few times a year to really share and collaborate on how we're using this so that we can give them all the roadmaps and playbooks so that they just implement this way faster. The guy said, I don't know if I can make the January offsite. I have to cut $2 million from our operating budget as mandated by the board. And I literally texted him back and said, have you asked how can AI help me do this? And he goes, oh my gosh, no. What would that even look like? And I literally sent him the prompt. Context role interview task. Context, here is our financial statements from the past, and here's our financial projections for the future. Here's what you need to know about our business. Here's where we've been focusing. Here's where I currently perceive the greatest opportunities to cut costs. Your role is to act as a strategic CFO who's adept at cutting $2 million from operating expenses without slowing growth. Interview me by asking one question at a time, up to five questions to gain deeper context, and then complete the task of outlining the roadmap for how I can cut $2 million within the next 6 months without slowing down growth. I sent it to him. 5 minutes later, he sent me, holy crap. I literally saved him 45 days of work.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what I'm just trying to get people to understand. It's like ridiculous that the game changer it can be and the time it can save by doing all this. Now, as we kind of wrap up here, Jeff, we talk a lot about...
Can I give you one more?
Keep going. Keep going.
Okay. So one of the guys who's in the collective, he's in the real estate space. He has built a very successful company flipping houses. And he had his strategic plan and he had sent it to me. And I said, have you used AI to bulletproof this? And he goes, No, what would that look like? And I said, literally drag and drop your strategic plan into AI. It had met the security provisions, which we could talk about in a second if you want. And I said, tell it to act as an aggressive, growth-minded board member in reviewing your strategic plan, that your goal is that it bulletproofs it, to challenge every assumption. Does the plan have the sufficiency to deliver the results that he wants? Are there things he should be considering that he's not considering? Are there things he's currently saying yes to that he should be saying no to? And to ask as many questions as it needed, one at a time, to gain context, so it could then tell him what he liked about his plan, what he didn't like about his plan, and the top changes he would need to make to his plan. AI conducted an exhaustive interview and came back and said, your plan does have the sufficiency to help you hit your goals this year in alignment with your 10-year goals, but it's going to violate the quality of life that you want to live as a person. Instead of this, my recommendation is that you stop flipping houses altogether and instead focus on multifamily real estate and the service-based businesses that surround them. Here's why. And it literally made an argument for why he should stop doing the entire business that he is currently doing and instead acquire buildings and companies that service the buildings. Here's where this gets crazy. With that insight, in the next 30 days, instead of going and getting another house under contract where he would net $10,000, he got a building under contract that, since he got it at such a steep discount, the moment it closed, he netted $1 million.
Come on.
Dead serious, from one prompt. So when I said at the beginning of this episode, you could use a prompt that could return a dollar or $1 million, I actually meant it.
Hey, Jeff, do all your buddies just call you up with all their problems or their business challenges? Like, oh, all right, let me send you a text, or let's just spend 5 minutes. I want you to figure this out for me all the time.
No. But I did talk to a guy yesterday who's starting a property management company, and I literally sent him the text to get AI to act as an analyst that could conduct research to identify the top things people love about a property management company and the top things they hate about a property management company and the top non-obvious strategies he could deploy to build a competitive moat. And then based on that research, to then conduct a prompt where it would act as a board member that would interview him to understand more about how he's visualizing the company with the context of the top things they would like, didn't like, and non-obvious strategies, to then create a competitive strategy statement that would outline the protective moat he's building, so that if he shared it with any real estate owner or real estate agent, they would go, we need to talk to you.
Well, that's impressive for a lot of reasons. One is my family owns a property management company, so I got to get my brother on it to figure that out, you know? Now, we're talking to AI, and all the skills that are required to do it. And we talk a lot about, you know, curiosity. What are some of the key critical skills that leaders are going to need outside of, you know, using AI to make it effective moving forward in the future?
Change management. So everything we've talked about up until this point is me showing you how do you raise your standards for your relationship with this technology. Instead of using it as a Google to ask questions to or an assistant to delegate tasks to elevate its role in your life as a thought partner with you as the thought leader. That's everything we've talked to up to this point. The moment you become proficient in using AI, you are naturally going to want to get your leadership team to start using this. Once you get your leadership team to start using this, you're going to want to start strategically expanding this in your company to the next set of people. But then you're going to need a skill set of how do we start to identify use cases where we could use this technology to make things more efficient. Over time, you are going to want to drive this through the whole company to the point where every single person is AI driven, just like every person uses the internet, every person knows how to use Word and Excel. AI is going to be the exact same. It will become that pervasive, but you have to understand how to lead that change, which also is going to require the conversations about how do people's roles transform. I'm telling you, that if we fast forward 5 years, I think people's job descriptions are going to look very different. The skills they apply, the processes they follow are going to be very different. And I didn't pick that number out of nowhere. That came directly from Eric Schmidt, former CEO of Google. He said, we are going to be living in a fundamentally different world in the next 5 years. Not 10, 5. Every part of your business is going to look different in the next 5 years. Damon, he said that almost a year ago. So this is why there's this compelling reason and case to take action now. No longer as a leader can you say, I'll get to it later, or somebody else in the company will figure this out. If you are currently thinking that way, you are abdicating your responsibility as a leader. I don't care if you're even in the middle of the organization waiting for somebody from on high to come up with something. You are giving away your power. You have an opportunity to get in the driver's seat, start building competence, using this yourself as a thought partner at your level, and start having the conversations up the chain of command and seeing how you can contribute to help create an AI-driven organization. You will not lose your job to AI. You might lose your job to the person that is AI-driven. So I'm asking you to become that person so you can displace yourself and create a bigger opportunity.
One more question. Going back to your book, which I think is phenomenal and everybody should pick up, what are your goals you're looking to accomplish with your book?
I want to create the future of leadership. I genuinely want to create a completely new category of leader that is the AI-driven leader. This is a person that understands their true human strengths. They focus it on the priorities of their role in alignment with the goals of the company, and they are supercharged with AI. AI enhances them. It does not replace them. For the book, I needed a way to give a non-technical leader a simple roadmap to go from zero to one, using this technology in a way that would matter. That is working. Now, the business of AI leadership is about saying, okay, great, you get how to prompt and you get how to use the technology. How do you now start to drive this into your organization so you can accelerate growth and build a competitive advantage? And that's where the whole focus is, the collective. Because I think the technology is just moving too fast. If you try to navigate this alone, you're going to lose. And so my vision is that over the next 10 years, we will have 10,000 executives, all with decision-making authority. They have to be able to approve budget within the collective, where we get off-site several times a year to have the space to think strategically, to learn from each other. But we're going to centralize all the knowledge of these 10,000 people. And from that, create the roadmaps, the playbooks, the systems, and give it to everyone. So like when I look at the offsite coming up here, we are going to have every person build their own AI board of advisors. So if they have a real board, this will help them collapse the time it takes to prepare for the board meeting. If they don't have a real board, they will create a custom AI board of advisors to augment their strengths and weaknesses as a leader so that they can have a board of advisors designed for them that they can go to for thought partnership. I have one, like Steve Jobs is on my board for vision and product design, but explicitly he's not allowed to give me any feedback on being a better father or leader. Dead serious.
I think that could be a workshop in itself on, or consulting itself on how to build it. I mean, that is huge right there. So we talked about the collective and we also talked about your book. Where else can we connect with you?
Yeah, I would strongly get the book. It's on hardcover, Audible. It's actually me reading it and the Kindle. I have a newsletter that is truly world-class. My audience is leaders who don't read emails, and I wanted to create something that was so valuable that you would read the email. And so every week we are sharing use cases, real stories like the one I shared on here, and the prompt that was used to generate the results so that you can start applying it. And you can get on the newsletter at AIleadership.com.
What about your podcast?
Oh, yeah. I'm launching a podcast, same title as the book, The AI-Driven Leader. If you check it out now, you will just see a trailer episode. But if you follow the show, there will be episodes that I'm going to be launching this year.
And I think what I heard you say is it going to be exciting about that is you do that, and then you could use all those transcripts to help create prompts and everything else afterwards. I mean,
absolutely.
There's so much ways to repurpose everything. Jeff, you've been beyond awesome. I mean, we talked about how you want AI where you're the thought leader, it's your thought partner, you know, how you got to get out of the fixed mindset because you have to move forward with this, how you could 10x your employees, how you need to focus on not what everybody else is doing on writing better emails or social media copy, but really the things that matter most. And what I like a lot right there at the end is building your own AI board of advisors. Jeff, you're awesome. Thank you. And everybody out there, do me a favor, go get Jeff's book. And then also go in and look at his online, his thought leadership or thought leader that is he's trained to work with his book. I played around with that last night and the free foundation course that you have on there. There's so many great takeaways that people, you know, there's prompts and everything that people can actually apply themselves.
I literally created, most people are charging money to teach you how to prompt. I gave it away for free. So on AI leadership, there's a crash course. It will literally help you understand the prompt ingredients and how to use it. And I wanted the book to be interactive, which is why I made the thought partner something like you can literally have a conversation with AI Jeff about the book to understand how to drive it into the company.
Thanks, Jeff. And everybody, stay curious, keep learning. Until next time, have a good day.